Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Still thinking about Brad Pitt.
Still thinking about Brad Pitt. From last week.
From last week.
From last week. I'm still thinking about Tom Cruise from last week. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Anyways.
This discussion has transcended the podcast.
Maybe I'll learn how to make YouTube shorts and put it as a YouTube short or something like that.
Yeah.
Release the movie cut.
His wife reached out to me in earnest to settle the debate that ensued in their household.
It might still be a debate. I don't know if we actually closed the book on that subject.
I don't know if the book can be closed on that subject, even though Tom Cruise is clearly superior.
Yeah, I still haven't forgotten him for Reacher, so.
Okay. Well, this is not a movie stars podcast. This is a racing podcast. Thank goodness. So let's move into some racing and some paddock news to start off the episode.
We have a lot of paddock news now. We haven't really had a lot.
It's been a few episodes, yeah. So first order of business, Mick Schumacher, beloved son of Michael Schumacher, has taken a job racing for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing in IndyCar starting in 2026.
Yep, replacing Devlin DeFrancesco.
Good choice. Good choice.
Yeah. What, they're not going to replace Louis Foster Rookie of the Year for 2025?
Probably not, no. I'm very excited for him. That'll be a good spot. I think he had more to show in F1.
And he was in a Haas,
yeah, with Nikita Mazepin as a teammate.
Yeah, and we've actually seen the team do a lot better, too, without the old team principal. They've made, I would say, pretty big gains.
Solid progress, yes.
Especially for the rookie driver.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ollie Bearman is killing it right now. Yeah. So, yes, Mick Schumacher to RLL, very exciting. Very good spot for him. I am very happy for the man. Toto Wolff has sold a partial stake in Mercedes. From what I read, it was not a very large stake.
It's like 5%, I think.
Yeah, but still, I guess that's something. Get that money. Qatar is this upcoming week, the Qatar GP. And once again, they have made a mandatory two-stop the way it's going to go. Luckily, Qatar is later in the year this year, so hopefully we won't have drivers getting heat stroke during the race. But maybe that could still happen. Or maybe it'll just like be torrential downpour and rainy the entire time like it was in Vegas. Yeah.
That'd be kind of... Well, I don't want... It'd be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool. I don't know how that would... It would kind of be probably insane.
It'd be cool because it would cancel the Qatar GP.
Yeah, probably. and thus, Lando Norris wins the Drivers' Championship. No, he's only 24 points ahead, so he would not win. But moving on, Aston Martin. Do you want to talk about this, Ben? Because you know more about this than I do.
Yes. I don't actually know either of the names of the people who were let go. But
never mind.
Aston Martin F1 team leadership has... left? Retired? Let me make sure I get this straight.
This is not Lawrence Stroll, though.
No.
Okay. That's the important one.
Leadership turnover. According to the AI.
Which is always correct.
Andy Cowell, the CEO and team principal, has apparently been removed following the Vegas GP. I can only assume this is related to their performance.
Most likely.
Yeah.
So Mike Crack was also demoted? But that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
That's right.
Mike Crack hasn't been a name that we see a lot for a while.
Yeah.
He's the CEO for just over a year.
Yeah.
Not even that long. Naturally, this also gives rise to Christian Horner to Aston Martin rumors, which even more strengthened because Adrian Newey's already there.
And
Adrian Newey and Christian Horner are kind of best the team up.
Yeah.
They like working together.
They're doing an Alpine and just saying one of these CEOs will figure it out. Just keep putting a new one in every year.
Yeah, just keep running them through. That being said, Aston Martin really has kind of fallen behind from where they were in 2022.
Yeah.
So maybe another leadership change is what they need.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, they're probably idling until 2026 anyways on development. So
yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, but interesting. I think the chances of us seeing Adrian or Christian Horner at Aston Martin are pretty strong, actually.
You think so?
I think so.
I could see it, yeah.
I could see them having an interim chief for the next two races, and then...
Yeah, and then, I mean, main guy. Lawrence Stroll seems like the type of guy that would choose a guy like Christian Horner. Not really concerned about any checkered past, just like, yeah, this guy wins.
They're in the business of hiring, yeah, the qualified individuals.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. Also, not paddock news, but kind of cool. Cadillac posted a video on YouTube of their, like, first full-length simulated race weekend. I think they're doing it during the Barcelona Grand Prix. But it was super cool to, like, get, like, a little bit of an inside view on how they do it. Simon Pagenaud's their development driver, which is kind of cool to see them drawing from that IndyCar background.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool. I felt like it was a more technical view than I would have expected from an F1 team behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So... That was pretty cool. Highly recommend to watch. It's a good insight into probably how other teams also go about race sim weekends. Just maybe a little bit more polished since they aren't learning how to do race sims.
Right. Good stuff, Ben. All right, let's move into the Las Vegas Grand Prix. In qualifying, to give everybody some context, the top 10 were Lando Norris on pole position, followed by Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz in P3. 4th and 5th were Russell and Piastri. 6th through 10 were Lawson, Alonso, Hadjar, Leclerc, and Gasly. This was one of the crazier qualifying sessions of the year, if not the craziest. It was raining in Las Vegas, as it never does.
Yeah, and when it rains in the desert, you get flash floods.
Like crazy. Yeah. Because the water has nowhere to go. So, yeah, it was pretty nuts. The track was very slippery. We actually saw the full wets. Yeah. Being used.
Insane.
Craziness.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah. Very crazy qualifying session. Caught out Lewis Hamilton, who came in last place on pure pace, pretty much.
The first time a Ferrari's been knocked out in Q2 or Q1 since like 2009 or something, I think.
On pace, you mean? On pace, probably. Yeah, that would make sense.
I think that was a stat that I saw. It's a legendary year for people not making Q2.
Yeah. Moving into the race, Lando Norris went deep into turn one, allowing Verstappen and Russell past. Bortoleto collided with Stroll, taking them both out of the race and causing a virtual safety car. But the VSC did not come out before marshals ran out onto the track under green flag conditions.
Insane. Yeah. AMR could never.
Antonelli got a 5-second penalty for a false start. Leclerc made his way up the field to P5 pretty quickly. Norris passed Russell on lap 34 for P2. Lando had a problem at the end of the race that caused him to lose a ton of time, but was able to maintain P2 until the end of the race. We're not going to mention Lando in the results until the very end, and we will talk about that.
Where are the McLaren drivers? Where have they gone?
So, in first place was Max Verstappen, followed by George Russell and Kimi Antonelli on the podium. 4th and 5th were Leclerc and Sainz. 6th through 10 were Hadjar, Hülkenberg, Hamilton, Ocon, and Behrman. Double Haas points. Love to see that. 11th through 15 were Alonso, Tsunoda, Gasly, Lawson, and Kalle Pinto, once again finishing last of the finishers. And then we had three retirements, Albon, Bortoleto, and Stroll, and two disqualifications, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, both of the McLaren drivers.
Wonder what happened.
I wonder what happened. Surely it couldn't have been related for the same issue, right?
Surely it wasn't a plankware issue.
Yes. So, let's talk about it. Double disqualification for McLaren. It was a plank infringement. The planks were worn down too much, which means, for those non-nerds that know too much about F1, the car was running too low to the ground, which you're not allowed to do. And so there's a plank on the bottom of the car made of wood, and I think it's just wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a very special, basically, impressive piece of wood.
Yeah, with, like, anti-flammable spray on it or something.
Yeah, and then, you know, shredded by titanium to make it spark and be flammable again, I guess.
I don't know, I guess. if the wood wears down too much, they measure it at the end of every race. If it's too worn down, then they will disqualify you for running your car too low to the ground. And that is what happened. And there's some rumors going around that maybe McLaren had a way of getting around this for the whole year. And the FIA found out about it in Brazil. And after Brazil, they said that they were not allowed to use that system anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused this problem. I don't know the credibility of that.
To be sure, there is an article in the race about it.
There is an article in the race about it, so the credibility is increasing.
Way better than some guy on Twitter
who's some guy who's saying, Instagram. Trust me, bro.
Yeah.
Ben's source until right now was trust me, bro. So
yeah, essentially the guy with Max Verstappen 33 in his title or something like that.
Yeah.
McLaren was cheating. That's why they lost this time, is because they're made not to cheat anymore.
Well, again, if they did something and the FIA didn't penalize them for it and just said you can't do this moving forward, then it wasn't cheating. It was just finding a loophole in the rules and exploiting it, which if you're not doing that, like Ben said earlier, you ain't trying.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, baby.
Exactly. If you're not. Sure.
Yeah. If the rules are gray, you're free to play. That was the saying.
Yeah. Exactly. So, if that's the case, and McLaren are now trying to scramble to figure out how to make their car work without being super low to the ground,
it works.
It might be an interesting end of the season for them.
Yeah.
One thing to note, Max Verstappen is back in the championship after we pulled him out of the championship after last week.
We're so back. Part of the graph. Or if you're a McLaren fan, it's so over.
Yeah, so Max Verstappen is now tied with Oscar Piastri in the Drivers' Championship at 366 points, a mere 24 points behind Lando Norris, which, for those of you who know, a full race win is 25 points. So he's so back.
They're one more plank wear event away.
Exactly.
Is there a sprint for either of these next races?
There is. Yes.
Qatar sprint?
Qatar is a sprint. And so we've got three points paying sessions. I saw something earlier today that said if for the next three sessions it finishes Verstappen first, Piastri second, Norris third, for all three, Verstappen will win the title by 1 point.
And also, I think that's fairly unlikely.
Fairly unlikely. I think that's fairly unlikely that we get that exact order, but I don't think it's super unlikely that Max beats the McLarens if they don't know how to do ride height properly now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually a good point.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. What happens if we get to a point where it finishes Verstappen, Piastri, Norris for the first two times, and then we go into Abu Dhabi, and it's Verstappen followed by Piastri and Norris, and the only way for McLaren to win the Drivers' Championship is the team orders Piastri behind Norris to let Norris win the championship. Oh, the drama.
Or if there's a shock safety car all the way up into the last lap and then they let them race for the last lap.
Yeah, let's not go back to 2021 vibes. I don't know. It's very unlikely that Max or Oscar, since they're tied.
I forgot about that.
We'll be able to win the championship 24 points behind Lando with two races plus a sprint left. However, it is far from impossible. We've seen some crazier things.
I'm not laughing quite as hard at the still mathematically possible text next to Max Verstappen's name.
Exactly, yeah. So, we'll see what happens. It's gotten a lot closer, and all of a sudden, Oscar Piastri's downward spiral might mean he doesn't even finish second in the championship. Sad times if you're a Piastri fan. The man hasn't been on a podium in six races now.
That's really hard, actually.
That's crazy, yeah. Speaking of being on the podium, Antonelli with a miracle podium because of Lando's disqualification. Antonelli finishes third after starting... Where did he start? He didn't even start in the top 10, I don't think.
He was 17th.
Did he start 17th?
Yeah.
Yikes.
And even if he had gone up to 4th and stayed in 4th, that would still be... I mean, that's still an incredible drive.
Yeah. So Kimi Antonelli started 17th, finished 3rd as a rookie on an insane tire strategy. The man saved his tires so well.
And this is his second podium in a row, isn't it?
He's
podium last
race. Did he podium last race? He might have. I don't remember.
What was the last race?
Brazil. We can check on revhang.com or you can just Google it.
Have you set up our SEO enough to make that come up first?
Oh, no.
What?
You and your soccer bun. I know, it's Andreas, not you.
Yeah. Hold on. You got the wrong roommate.
We're only professionals here.
The wrong wickedly handsome blonde man of European descent.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm the short one, remember.
You're the short one. He finished 25. Oh, because there was a sprint. Why does it have to make it difficult? No, we need to go to the script. It doesn't matter.
I'm still curious, however.
F1 Brazil 2025 results. Kimi Antonelli finished second.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Great
week last week. I knew we put him on the thumbnail for the last one, but I couldn't remember what place he got to deserve that.
So second podium in a row for the young man. Very good stuff. Kind of a miracle podium. Made a crazy tire strategy work.
Yeah.
And held Leclerc behind him for actually most of the race. So very good job. Lewis Hamilton also with a comeback drive, not quite as much as Antonelli. Hamilton started 19th after qualifying 20th because Yuki Tsunoda had another engine change for like the 50th time this year. And Hamilton ended up finishing 8th, which would have been 10th. It still would have been points, but
behind
Nico Hülkenberg. What a comeback.
Crazy.
Only 8 and points behind
Yeah, behind Carlos Sainz also. Yeah.
Indeed. Hülkenberg P7, as was just stated.
Love
and
to see it.
Carlos Sainz P5 in that Williams. Good result for him as well.
It's actually a pretty cool like top 10 lineup.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you take the top like the top team out of the standings. It's like, oh, this was awesome.
This is crazy.
Yeah. So, moving into the standings, like we said, Lando Norris has 390 points, followed by Oscar Piastri and Max Verstappen at 366. I believe Oscar Piastri wins the tiebreaker, but I could be wrong, actually. George Russell has 294, and Charles Leclerc has 226. So, that will be your fourth and fifth. Verstappen. Taking up a skateboarding career.
I don't even know what that means, but... Never.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about it.
I'm a skier, actually.
I don't know how many Oscar won this year. I feel like it's been more than Max. Max has 6, so yeah. So Oscar's still ahead, technically, on race wins.
Wow. Okay. Not for long, though.
Oh, wait, no, that's not this year.
Was it?
No, that was overall.
Oh.
We're doing so great today. It's a great, great time. Standings 2025. Only professionals. Piastri is ahead.
Okay.
Gotta be on tiebreakers. But
can you imagine if they come out of the season tied on points?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be so funny. Is that even like mathematically possible?
I'm sure it is.
I guess. That'd be pretty tough at this point to like keep your points steady to the end.
Yeah. All right. We went through standings. Let's go into the pit stop championship.
Oh wait, do you think Carlos Sainz passes Nico Hülkenberg or even Isaac Hadjar to break into the top 10 for standings? Carlos Sainz is at 48, Hadjar's at 51, Hülkenberg's at 49.
I think he passes Hülkenberg. I don't think he passes Hadjar.
Also, funny fact, Oliver Bearman is ahead of Fernando Alonso by 1 point right now.
Love to see that.
Poor Fernando Alonso.
Fun fact, Lance Stroll is ahead of Yuki Tsunoda. Fun fact, Franco Colapinto is yet to score points.
Do not bring that up. We can't afford to be on either side of it. They're both losing sides.
Yes. Pit stop championship, Yuki Tsunoda, once again with a time of 1.99 seconds. Another fast pit stop from him, followed by Russell and Norris. Fourth and fifth were Lawson and Sainz. 6-10 were Alonso, Leclerc, Piastri, Hadjar, and Bearman. Bearman just scoring points everywhere.
He's cooking.
What a man. Standings, Leclerc is still out in front. Most likely... Yes. Charles Leclerc has won the pit stop championship
Oh.
for the drivers.
Congratulations on winning something.
Congrats. All around. And then the battle for second between Yuki Tsunoda and Lewis Hamilton is intensifying.
Mm.
Yes. Yuki Tsunoda at 243 and Lewis Hamilton at 240. Then Oscar Piastri at 191 and Liam Lawson at 169.
Hmm.
Nice. Moving into the constructors, here's where it gets really spicy. Ferrari has already won the pit stop championship for the constructors. The battle for second place is insane. Red Bull at 345, RB at 342, and McLaren at 342.
Oh, wow.
So it's going That's to really be quite the battle for second place. Mercedes will come in fifth place.
That is a super interesting comparison on like how the teams overall have been doing on pit stops this year.
Yeah.
And like how that influences their races. Like McLaren's technically third/fourth.
Yeah.
Despite having won the constructors.
Right. And Ferrari's had a horrible season and yet they just dominated pit stops.
They do it a lot.
Yep.
they sure do pit stop.
Haas having the best season they've had since like 2017.
While having the worst pit stops yeah.
of anybody. Sauber actually with a comeback.
Yeah.
181.
I'll be really interested to see how Cadillac does on pit stops. Like a brand new...
Probably going to be pretty bad.
Yeah. But what if they're not?
What
if they bring the NASCAR boys over there? They're used to doing that like... You know, there's four guys out there running around doing stuff. Yeah. Imagine if you got like four NASCAR IndyCar guys. It's like, here, there's twice as many of you now.
Yeah. They do the single... In NASCAR, they do the single nut now, right?
Yeah, they move to center lock with the next gen cars.
The center lock, yeah. Okay. So, I was thinking, well, a NASCAR guy is used to, like, having to hit that five times.
Wait.
Yeah. Now, so he's like, he comes to F1 with a wheel gun that's this big, and he's like, this is easy.
This is crazy. I'll do it all myself. It's like the same in cars.
Exactly. Guido.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was, like, thinking about the IndyCar guys who do, like,
it's one, like, two guys, essentially, you know, going front to back with the tires and just, like, toss them to the side. Like, what if you gave them more help?
Yeah.
Would they be faster?
I don't know. That's actually a good question, because it's essentially the same process, because they're center lock, too.
Yeah.
And so if you just make the guns better...
Yeah, I guess they're not quite as precise, because, like, F1 has, like, the whole timing, like, computerized guns and all that.
That can be trained.
Whereas the IndyCar guys are like, all right, wheels off, chuck the gun away.
Yeah, throw the gun. Imagine a guy's just in the habit and he throws the gun.
Throws the gun and hits, like, a Ferrari pit wall guy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, right into the guy, pit lane. The guy in front's like, go!
Go!
It's like, we don't do that here. Why are you spraying
water? There's a guy in the back that's pushing the car as it goes.
Spraying water at the driver. Is like, we don't do that here. Where'd you get that?
What's going on? This guy with a fuel hose for some reason. Like, what's happening? All right. It's illegal.
They're going to see you.
All right, so.
They're going to put you on the track.
Moving on to... Where's the wall to jump over? Overtake of the week. I give this one to Ollie Bearman for his overtake on Franco Colapinto on lap 25 of the race. We saw it in the mini player, and that's the only place we saw it, and there was no commentary on it, but it was an absolute dive bomb.
It was great. We love seeing the rookie-on-rookie violence.
Yep, exactly. All right, moving into our weekly predictions. Las Vegas Grand Prix, to remind everybody, the top five was Verstappen, Russell, Antonelli, Leclerc, and Sainz. Ben, what did you have?
It wasn't great. Piastri and Norris up front, and then Verstappen, Antonelli, and Leclerc with Hadjar as my dark horse, so...
Yikes.
Yeah, hey, at least Hadjar got sixth, and Verstappen and Antonelli did okay.
Yeah, yep. I had Verstappen winning the race, so I nailed that one. Wow. Followed by Norris and Russell, so if Norris didn't get disqualified, I would have had the top three correct. Then I had Piastri 4th and Antonelli 5th, which if I would have swapped those and neither of them got disqualified, I would have had the top 5 absolutely nailed.
If nothing went wrong, I'd swap some places.
Yeah, exactly. See, now you're getting it, Ben. If I had been right, I would have been right.
Yeah, there you go.
My dark horse was Esteban Ocon. Fastest lap went to Max Verstappen. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Lando Norris.
I had Max Verstappen. Driver of the day also went to Max Verstappen. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri.
I had Kimi Antonelli, who probably actually deserved it more.
Yeah, probably.
Looking back at it now.
Yeah.
I mean, Verstappen passed Lando into turn one, and then that was it.
And he left.
Yeah. But you did Verstappen things.
You can't give Antonelli it twice in a row, right? Surely not. That's a Lando-Norris thing.
Surely not, yeah. Well, Verstappen won it last week, too, because he started, like, last and finished third.
Oh, I guess he did, yeah. I guess that was pretty deserved.
That was deserved.
I don't know.
Going 17th to 3rd as a rookie. Yeah.
Driver that he robbed by Max Verstappen. Exactly. What a problem to have.
All right, moving into the Qatar Grand Prix. Top 5, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Verstappen, learning my lesson, Norris, Antonelli, Russell, and Sainz with Hadjar as my dark horse. I'm going to try it again.
No Piastri in the top 5.
I got to hedge my bets.
Nice. I have Verstappen and Norris as well in my top 2, followed by Leclerc, Russell, and Piastri with Behrman as my dark horse.
So our main deviations are, you think Leclerc is going to do better than Antonelli?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually don't think Piastri is going to do that bad, but he's been doing so horrible the last few weeks that I couldn't put him higher than 5th. But this kind of track does suit McLaren because they are very good in high-speed corners. But now you've got me thinking about this whole ride height thing and how maybe the high-speed corners are not going to be as
good. Maybe it'll be really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
Lando Norris.
I've got George Russell. Driver of the day, what do you got?
Kimi Antonelli.
And I've got Max Verstappen.
Very cool.
It's going to be the Clash of the Titans once again. All right. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for our lovely listeners this week?
It's getting cold, and everyone's starting to put their yard equipment away. Not me, because I'm dedicated to the grinds and also just behind. But it's important to remember to put fuel stabilizer in all of your like yard tools and take your motorcycle out on one last ride and fill it up with clear gas at the gas station if you can get it, or put fuel stabilizer in it and run it through. Make sure you don't clog up all your shit. Because it's so frustrating to have to take apart your, like, 27-year-old rototiller to try to find parts for the carburetor because you've left the jets filled with old fuel and now they're clogged. And it's just awful.
Yep.
And it's such a pain. So it's so much easier just to put fuel stabilizer. I honestly just keep fuel stabilizer. Like, when I fill up a new gas can, I just put fuel stabilizer in immediately because there's not really any reason not to.
Yep. So. Solid.
Yeah, and clear gas is, I mean, most motorcycles at this point can run clear gas.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth it. Not all the time, but especially going into the winter, I think it's worth it for storage.
Cool. Good stuff, Ben. All right. Do you have something from the community to share with us?
The community?
The Craigslist community.
Oh, the Craigslist community. Yes. It's really cool. I think it's really cool. Do you think it's really cool?
I think it's pretty cool.
It's a Lexus LS600HL.
The roof rack makes it less cool.
I think the roof rack makes it sick. No, hear me out.
Okay.
A Lexus LS600HL from 2008. This is a V8 hybrid Lexus with all-wheel drive. Imagine taking this thing up to, like, Willamette Pass.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not on, like, a fresh pow day, but, like, roads are, like, relatively plowed. This has all-wheel drive. You throw a pair of, like, winter tires on there. All-wheel drive. You got your roof racks. You have a long wheelbase luxury sedan with heated seats and a mini fridge. That thing's ballin'. It's so cool. You got enough room in the trunk because it's a big old sedan to put all your winter clothes and stuff like that. It's, yeah, super comfy because, I mean, at that point it's practically a century with a hybrid system.
Yeah.
Back in 2008, this thing had lane departure and a backup camera. It's got a DVD player with a screen in the back so you can watch all your cool winter movies while you're driving up.
Mm-hmm.
Heated and cooled front seat. It's got triple zone climate control, which is very cool. Full surround sound Bose speakers, 2 fobs, a keyless entry card to put in your wallet, which I didn't know that they had that back then. I'm really mostly astounded by the fact that it has all this stuff from 2008.
That's more common to see like cropping up in like 2013, 2016 era.
It only has 146,000 miles, and it's a Lexus, which means it's a Toyota, which means it's early in its life cycle.
Yeah, it's broken in. The hybrid system's probably not getting you that much better gas mileage, but it has a V8, so, like, passing power is not really a problem.
Is it a Toyota engine? Does Toyota make a V8? They make a V8?
Yeah. What do you think they put in the truck? What do you think they put in the Tundra?
They put the V8 from the truck in the Lexus?
Hold on, LS600HL. V8.
Did they actually put a Tundra engine in a car?
Oh, it's a 5-liter V8. So this is essentially what they put in the ISF.
I can't picture that car for some reason.
The ISF?
Yeah.
What about the GSF?
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, the 5-liter V8 is what they put in there. I'm pretty sure it might not be related, but they put a 5-liter V8 in their modern cars, like the IS500 and the LC500, both use a 5-liter V8. And I'm pretty sure it's just updated version of this.
Gotcha. MSRP at 104, huh?
Shit, yeah.
And they're selling it for 15 with only 146,000 miles on it. That's a steal.
That's probably the best depreciation you're going to see on a Toyota Lexus product ever. That's very cool. Yeah, it made 438 horsepower and 385 pound-feet of torque.
That's a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
For a hybrid from 2008?
Yeah, yeah. And it's an all-wheel drive.
Hybrids from 2008, sedan. You would press the gas pedal and it would be like, you'd eventually I'll think about it. Yeah.
As the motor tried to generate
enough power. Take all the power away from the wheels. Because that's not what you really want. What you want is gas mileage.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Keyless ignition. It's pretty cool.
It's good stuff, Ben.
I honestly, this is a very cool car to me. Perhaps one of the cooler cars that I've seen on Craigslist. It's so clean, too. Like, the interior is pristine, just about. Like, it's aged very well. Did I mention that it has a mini fridge in the back?
Yes, you did. And look at all the lighting. I will be in the market for a car in about 9 months here. And if I saw that
would
for
you
$15,000...
If you were in the market for a car now... Would you buy this over a new car or like a cheap new car or like a cheap-ish newer used car?
Oh, man. I would be choosing between this and a new GR86. So it would be a tough choice, but to save $15,000 and get this car, that's very enticing.
It does have adaptive cruise control also.
In 2008?
Yeah.
Dude, what?
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, the technology in this car.
I know.
It's all probably horrible versions of the things that we
think
about.
Oh, the navigation's
now.
Probably so far out of date.
Yeah.
Useless. But I mean...
Well, I never use nav. I just use my phone.
Yeah, just
I need
use your
to.
Phone. And you have a 13-speaker Bose audio system, which probably still slaps.
Probably thumps, yeah.
And I think this is actually the best generation looking of LS.
It does look very
because
good.
It's so simple, it's so clean, but it still gives off like that executive sedan look.
I would be very, very tempted. And you would want rides all the time.
I would. I'd be like, Nathan, when are you driving me?
Chauffeur?
Chauffeur me up to the mountain, please? Yeah, this would be such a great road trip car, too.
It really would. I bet it'd be so comfortable. It's so comfortable. Yeah, and quiet. That V8's probably so smooth.
Yeah. Heated and cooled front seats.
My goodness. All right.
Anyways.
Cool car, Ben. You sold me on it. I didn't like it at first, but the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, in 2008? Really?
Yeah. I used to have a 2009 Ford Taurus all-wheel drive, and not quite the same thing, but like the big, comfy all-wheel drive sedans that are like vault quiet and heavy and just, they drive so nice and they're quiet and they're so relaxing to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed that Taurus. I got the thing up to, I have to wait for statute of limitations to pass on that, but.
Okay. All right, well.
I have definitely gone the speed limit in it.
Right. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. And you know for a fact, you can't tell me why, but it can go faster than the speed limit.
I know for just, you know, based on research that I've read.
If you were to take it on the Autobahn.
I've read that people who take them on the track in the Autobahn have exceeded the speed limiter. Or the speed, the speedometer.
That's wild.
Readout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Thanks, Ben. And thank you, the listeners, so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from that series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in one short week to talk about the Formula One Qatar Grand Prix and its two mandatory pit stops. But until
and
then,
sprint race.
Yes, and the sprint race. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I've been.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.